Bryce Eddy is an entrepreneur and a businessman. He has spent more than 25 years in the risk management, insurance, and security industries. Bryce has also spent a lifetime in martial arts and holds a black belt. He also owns 805 Combat Sports in Southern California. He happens to sit on the board of Turning Point USA. And he's joining me today to talk about the need in our culture right now for godly men to return to protecting and providing. This is going to be a great conversation. I hope you guys will share it with your friends. Stick around. This is the Heidi St. John Podcast, and I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, thank you guys for tuning in today. You're about to hear a very hard-hitting and encouraging conversation with my friend Bryce Eddy. Bryce and I have been friends for several years, and one of the things I love about him is that he is unafraid to just tell it like it is, and you're going to hear that in the podcast today. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already signed up for my women's conference, that's going to be held right here at Firmly Planted Family on March 1st and 2nd, so come in right up. We're going to spend just a day and a half together talking about what it means to shine in these dark days. Jesus said that we are to be a lamp, we are a light, a city on a hill. And we're not supposed to hide our light. And so we're going to talk about what it looks like to shine. Also, don't want you to forget the 16th and 17th of February. So coming right up, my friend Phil Gunger is going to be here in Vancouver for Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And you guys, I have been looking at some of the sessions he's going to be doing. He's going to be talking about how to become an awesome communicator in your marriage. He's going to be talking about the one key you have to know for great sex inside your marriage. And he's going to be encouraging you to learn to listen. This is going to be an awesome opportunity. You guys can stay right next door to the Homeschool Resource Center at the Hampton Inn and Suites right here in Vancouver. And check it out. I will link back to those things in the show notes today. So Bryce, welcome to the Heidi St. John Podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Hey, thank you for having me. And thank you for putting up with me doing this at a Starbucks. You know, I'm in between studios right now, having just moved this week to Idaho.
Dude, it's amazing. So you got to introduce yourself to my audience, a little bit about who you are. I met you through Turning Point.
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend, Rob McCoy, and I met you guys doing amazing things through through that organization. But tell us a little bit about you, where you came from, what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm a business guy by background. I'm a mixed martial artist, having done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I own a school. I've done that for about 30 years. I've got a number of different businesses and a security consulting business. So I've gotten to know a lot of the conservative folks, because of course they get attacked in airports and they start getting attacked at rallies and things like that. So we've helped provide security for a lot of these folks and just, you know, helping people to navigate this new kind of world of unrest. And then I've been blessed to have a show on Salem's Podcast Network called The Bryce Eddy Show. I know, super creative, but we're having fun. Yeah. So I emphasize that we need masculinity to rise again in our culture if we're going to straighten things out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really true. The country's on fire right now. I'd be curious to know what you think as a guy who's been in California. I mean, obviously, you're going to be splitting your time now between Idaho and California. But it is a crying shame what is happening in California under the woke non-leadership of Gavin Newsom. But what's your take, Bryce, on what's happening at the southern border?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, starting with that, you know, California hates its citizens and the people that are still there. I mean, I appreciate the folks that are, you know, fighting on the front lines, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I didn't want to have my grandkids raised anywhere in California. And so, you know, my daughters, I've got three of them, 20, 19, and 14, and my wife, you know, we just felt led and called. We bought this property back in 2020 and, you know, have a huge network of friends here. And so I'm going to continue to fight for California because I do have businesses and business interests and, you know, other things there. But it's incredible turmoil. And of course, all of that's being exasperated by the invasion that we've got going on at the border. And that's exactly what it is.
Yep. Yep, it is. I saw a video when I was in Arizona over the weekend of what looked like, you know, these are not the beaches of Normandy. People washing up in, you know, coming up in boats in La Jolla. I mean, what the heck is going on? And I'm under the impression that they would have had to go through several checkpoints to get to the beach in La Jolla. Is that right?
You know, not really. I mean, it's interesting because this has been actually happening for years now. Back in 2020, we were having those same kind of boats, busting the shores of Malibu even. We had identified it from a security standpoint back then and been calling out this stuff really early on. I mean, going back years. But we've been seeing this happen. And what they're doing is they really are importing not just a voting block.
Yep.
But they're actually importing a potential insurgency in their favor. And I don't think people understand that what it is mostly military aged young men. It's not asylum seekers. That's a complete euphemism. That's complete baloney. We interviewed a lot of these folks.
These are not your tired, huddled masses.
No, it's not at all. And in fact, this is all cartel-driven, cartel-directed, and then they're working in concert with the Biden administration as well. I mean, on a very deep level that should be shocking to people. But people are largely – we've been pacified by prosperity. Yeah. And so all this stuff, now people are starting to go, hey, what's going on? Have you seen this? Oh, it's been going on for a very, very long time.
Yeah. I've heard it said that, when times are good, easy times create, weak men and weak societies. And that's really what we have right now. And you and I have talked for quite a while about politics and the church and kind of where we are right now. Before I touch on it, I want to ask you, you kind of started off today with a bit of a hot button topic, at least for me. And that is the need to see masculinity return again to the United States. I mean, we've watched now for decades as the feminist movement has taken aim at men and decided that masculinity was nothing more than toxicity in the culture. We saw sitcoms mm-hmm. like Married with Children. It was always the dad who was the idiot and the mom had to come in and save the day. Well, here we are, in a culture that can't even tell you what a woman is. And we need our men to take their place again on the battlefield, because what we're seeing, what we're witnessing, I mean, forget the southern border, what we're witnessing in our churches, what we're witnessing coming from our schools and from the culture at large is an attack on the family, and men are born protectors and providers. What do you say to this generation of men who see what you were just saying? They're just now starting to wake up and go, oh shoot, there's an invade, stuff is happening. What's your encouragement to this generation of men? That's my first question. And the second question for the women who are listening is, how can women encourage the men again to take their place and begin again to be protectors?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And I'm actually going to start a little bit at the top, because I don't think people understand what the battle really is about and how we got here. So first, of course, this is a spiritual battle, and we're fighting an enemy, with a capital E, right?
Right.
But what we've got going on is a battle for sovereignty. And that's really, if you think about this and you put all of the things that we're seeing in the news through this filter, there is an attack on sovereignty. God talks about, discipling nations. He talks about nations. Nations are a biblical concept. And yet we're battling against people who, using communism as a sales pitch,
yep.
they are trying to usher in a global feudalism. And that's a central planned one world government, all those sort of things that have been the fodder for conspiracy theorists and things like that. None of it's a conspiracy, because they've all written this down. They've all said this is where we want to go. And in order to do that, you have to destroy the sovereignty of the individual and the sovereignty of the family. The family is the smallest form of government. And that's what's under assault. If you can destroy men with chests, men who will stand up, men who will bravely say no, then you can win. And that's what this battle has been forever, is how do we feminize men and how do we feminize our churches, which has been going on for a very long time? How do we create a weak, passive, pacifist vision of Jesus? And that's, none of that is biblical. None of that is right. And what's amazing, though, and where I have encouragement, is young men are starting to wake up. Young men are crying out for something different. And you're seeing that right now, because they're polling in high school far more conservative than they ever have been. You're seeing them seek out, just good, strong mentors. They're gravitating towards strength now. And so it is that Tytler cycle that you mentioned before, good times, create weak men. And now we're getting into some really hard times. And now people are recognizing that, okay, we got to rise a little bit.
Yeah, it's really true. And I'm looking at, the move of feminism now, and we were talking about this over the weekend, that this nation is being destroyed from the inside out by middle-aged women. Like, for forever now have just said, anything you can do, I can do better. I was listening to a clip from The View, and I actually watched The View. I feel like this should be a disclaimer. Happened to see a clip come through social media. But the women that are on there, I mean, they are literally talking about things that defy reality. And we've got to have a reality check. And I know that there are a lot of women, myself included, have been talking about this issue for a very long time. But the frustrating thing for someone in my position, having, I've got two sons that are, 26 and 23 respectively, and my daughters are in their 30s now. And it's a frustrating time to be a young man for sure. But I think the women do not know how to respond to this, because they're, we're kind of fighting to get even the voices of Christian women and women who want to embrace femininity rather than feminism and just admit, we actually can't fight the bad guys without our guys, right? So what do you say to women who want to engage in the conversation but are not sure where to start?
Well, the first thing, feminism is a poison. And yes, it's a poison pill that women swallow. And then when they're in their 40s and they've sacrificed their families for a career and all of that sort of stuff happened and they feel empty now, they're embittered. And that's who we're actually fighting, is a bunch of bitter women that are, frustrated and upset and married to weak men. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a TikTok a little while ago where this gal was like, she was lamenting that all of the guys that she was attracted to were conservative because they were strong and they were, gentlemanly. Ooh. And they were picking up the bill and, things like that. And she's like, what is happening here?
Turns out that's kind of sexy. Come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's actually ingrained, within. Women want a man that's capable of protecting them and providing for them and providing for a family. And the more dangerous times get, the more that becomes necessary. We've had so much prosperity that the wolf hasn't been at the door. And so, they've been able to pretend like you don't need a man and a woman to raise a good family or to, have a fulfilling life. But that is the truth. So, it's funny, and I'll add a quick little story. So I do these podcasts called Unhinged Podcasts every once in a while where, I gather together my buddies and we sit around and we'll smoke a cigar, maybe have a glass of whiskey and get a little bit loose, and talk about things. And we asked, okay, what would be, one topic that if we said it, or one stance that we took, that we'd get canceled by everybody, by both sides, so we were contemplating that and joking around, and it was like, oh, I know, we gotta abolish the 19th Amendment. Women have ruined us by their voting record. And so we started joking about that. And obviously, I wasn't advocating for it, but we were kidding about it. And we started to try to troll our wives and other friends, female friends that were there, and they started going, no, we think that's a good idea. We've wrecked it. We've ruined it all. And we were like, wait, what? And obviously, that's not what we're advocating for. But you look at what has driven some of the worst policies in our country, and you look at what prevented our red tsunami. And it was women voting against their interests and voting for destruction, to the tune of something like 68 or 70% of women voted for against Donald Trump, voted against good policy, and it's astounding what's happened, and a lot of that, by the way, is men's responsibility, because men have abdicated responsibilities. They've abdicated leadership, going back to the idea that high school boys are trending more conservative. High school women are not, but I'm not worried about that. If you have strong guys saying, hey, I'm going to lead, this is where we're going, the gals will follow.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, Jay and I, my husband and I, have talked about this on my show before, and I got some pushback from it, but I think it's God's design. Women are born reflectors, right? They're born to reflect in God's design, the loving leadership of a husband inside the home. They reflect, you know, and I loved, I'm sure you saw this too, this video where it was a comedy skit, but the guy was like, you know, women are multipliers, right? So you give a woman food, she's going to give you a meal. You give a woman a seed, she's going to give you a baby. You give a woman a house, and she's going to give you a home, right? But you give a woman strife, and it's going to be multiplied, you know, tenfold. And I was laughing, thinking, it's just so true. Women are looking, I think, for men to be strong again and assertive. You know, I started going, as you know, to school board meetings like 8 years ago. None of my kids are in the public school, but I started going to school board meetings and standing up and saying, "What are you guys doing? Why are you doing this? Why are these books in our schools? Why is this happening? Why is that happening?" And people said, "Well, where are the men?" Yeah. Well, the women told them to stay home. That's where they are. They're home, you know, watching Netflix with a beer, sitting on the couch. And you and several other really, I think, powerful voices in the culture right now are calling these men not out, but up. It's so important to call them up, isn't it?
Yeah. Praise God. It absolutely is. And yeah, I mean, and God bless guys like John Omchukwu and others who, you know, his videos are going viral because his big masculine hulking presence going into those school board and reading from their pornographic books. And they're telling him, "Oh, stop. You can't read that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you're going to give that to children, you morons."
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's amazing. Did you see the president of Moms for Liberty talking to Joy Reid on the news the other day?
Amazing. Well, what's amazing and also terrifying that, you know, Joy Reid in her position on that and what she was saying and what a smarmy, nasty woman she was in the way that she was relating
to that.
There's
a true nasty woman right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's great wickedness. And you can see that. And her whole purpose was just she had these talking points that she needed to get out and she wasn't going to let it be derailed. But the Moms for Liberty gal nailed her. And it was just so perfect because what she was suggesting was so absurd.
Yeah.
And it's a great video if people haven't seen it.
Yeah, it really is. I'll try to link back to it in the show notes today. This is a really important time, I think, for God's people to get off the bench, get onto the battlefield, to engage in what's happening. And we really don't have any time to lose. And I'm curious, you know, you like I are watching what's happening politically, and we know that it ain't going to be Joe Biden that they run in November. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get, you know, Clinton in the summertime. I don't think they're going to run the guy. Something's terribly wrong, right? He's got dementia. He doesn't have the wits of a kitten right now. But what's your take so far? I mean, obviously Donald Trump's going to be the guy, right, in the primaries, in the Republican primary. But if you could forecast what our spring and fall is going to look like politically, what's your gut right now?
Well, you know, I've been saying for more than 2 years and maybe even longer than that they aren't going to run him. Mm-hmm. My prediction is probably a Gavin Newsom, Michelle Obama kind of a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, that's been pretty obvious for a while that's one of the options. They're going to wait until after their convention to do it so they can just install, you know, rather than go through a process. So they've got to get Kamala Harris out of the way, and she wants to be president.
Can you imagine the word salad queen as the president?
she lets words tumble out of her head.
It's amazing.
Like
how can
rocks.
A person say so much and so little at the same time?
She's got a real gift for that. That's for sure. You know, she wants to be the first, you know, female black president, and she has really great ambitions. And for anybody who has insiders that they get to talk to, you know, there has always been great tension in the Biden administration versus, you know, her people versus theirs. And so they're going to have to massively buy her off or do something really incredible. It's not going to be a people have speculated that that they're going to give her a Supreme Court seat or, you know, things like that. I don't see any of that happening. I don't see any of that appeasing her. But yeah. But they're going to figure out some way, and it might be down to threats. I mean, you know, we're in a place right now that you know, we are in a war.
Yes.
And people people talk about, oh, we're almost there. No, we're in the middle of it, but it's a fourth and fifth generation war. Mm-hmm. So it's lawfare, it's political warfare, it's attacking people's ideals, it's character assassination, it's all of those things that they're doing. Well, eventually it gets kinetic. Eventually they get to actual assassinations and things like that. And none of that should surprise anyone, because, you know, we know that that's happened in our past. We know that that's a possibility in our future. And it's, you know, the way of mankind in governments, and it's the evil that we bring to things.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And if people, one of the things that I'd love to get your take on this, but one of the things that really bugs me about the Republican Party, especially in the last couple of years, is this constant droning on about election fraud. And I'm not saying that there's no, you know, there's no fraud in our elections. There has been for a long time. I'm old enough to remember the hanging chads and the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So this is not new. It's kind of like what you're saying is going on at the southern border. But I think that the effect of voting, you know, when the Republicans are constantly going, it's voter fraud, you know, people just go, well, then forget it. I'm not going to turn out to vote because why should I bother? The whole thing is rigged. And that's what Donald Trump's been telling everybody. It's rigged. It's rigged. It's rigged. And I said to my husband a couple of weeks ago, notice that they only complain when they lose. They're not complain when they win. You know, we're not seeing, oh, the Republicans win. Oh, election fraud. We should go look that over. You know, what's the answer to that, Bryce, as we're moving into a new cycle? Because we cannot afford to stay home, and we certainly can't afford to disenfranchise the voters so that they feel like they don't have a voice even if they get out.
Yeah, well, the Republicans are morons. I think it's Dennis Prager that said, he said there's two parties, the stupid party and the evil party. And I'm a member of the stupid party.
Yeah.
They're losers. And a lot of it's because they aren't filled with strong men, you know, going back to that theme. I've been to a lot of their meetings, and some of the most involved are women. And again, you know, I'm grateful for them being involved, but you need really strong men that get everybody rowing in the same direction. And that's been my passion for a long time. We were able to be effective in Southern California, in Ventura County. We started an organization called Free County, but we DBA'd it Free Ventura. And we're going to be doing some of those efforts this year there, and also here in Idaho, because there's some things that need to be won. But I tried to get some of these disparate GOP groups together that were fighting like crazy.
Good
luck.
You know,
it's not easy. We made some modest successes happen with that, and we did have a good result. But the difference is so many of us, because we're conservative and we're traditionalists, we want to do it like the old days, right? And we want it to be a fair contest. They have admitted to cheating, okay? They've admitted to a lack of, let's call it, fair and honest play. Okay, they bragged about it in Time Magazine. We fortified the elections, and here's how we did it. You know, and then we do know that there was out and out fraud. Most likely, it was enough to create better outcomes for them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know for sure, but the evidence suggests, and what we've seen, and you know, 2,000 mules and all of those sort of things that we saw over and over again. There was enough, and it doesn't take much for them to turn the dial towards victory. Well, here we are acting like we're old timey boxers, and this is the way we're going to do it, where they changed the rules. So it's MMA. Right. You know, and they're going to kick us in the head and throw us down to the ground and choke us. You know, we need to fight according to the rules that they have created. And we can do it legally. And I believe that there's never been a better time for us to go hard and do the ballot collections and, you know, the ballot harvesting. Again, all the legal stuff, they may not be able to cheat enough to overcome the deficit that Biden certainly has created, but our economic conditions and all these sort of things, people are unhappy.
Yeah, it's the economy, stupid.
Yeah. And so, yeah. You know, we have a very, very good chance, and Donald Trump has a very, very good chance. And again, you know, I know he's got solid security teams and everything around him, because I think that they'll stop at nothing not to be rounded up for prison. Remember, everything that they've been doing to us, you know, they always accuse us of what they're doing, right? Yeah. They always make all of those sorts of claims. And it's coming. If Donald Trump gets in, you know, I think there'll be a real reckoning. I think he learned some lessons from the first time around.
Well, I mean, I hope so. You know, I voted for him twice, and I'll do it again. You know, if he's at the top of the ticket, which I think he will be, I'll do it again. But the guy has had in the past, and I'm not trying to be, you know, antagonistic, but the discernment of a jellyfish.
I think it's one of his weaknesses.
It's absolutely one of his weaknesses. I have experienced it firsthand. And I believe that whoever's giving him counsel doesn't have his best interest at heart, right? We're pushing agendas and pushing, you know, friendships or whatever it is, you know, favors or whatever it is. But God's people need to be praying. How important is it as we head into this election cycle that we get back to a posture of prayer? And I'm not talking about, you know, praying and then staying home and just, you know, hoping that the rapture happens. You know me, I'm an action girl, right? A little less talk and a lot more action. We need more generals out on the field. And some of those generals are going to be female. You know, I think God's calling up Deborahs and women who understand, you know, the proper role of male and female into the culture, because you have to have strong female voices to counteract the wickedness that's coming out of the feminist movement. The best places, the best voices to speak into that are women, I believe, to counter that the craziness of feminism. But as we move into this season, I have been really burdened, for lack of a better word, to pray. I think we got cocky in 2020. I think we weren't praying in 2020. In 2016, dude, I was fasting and praying. I mean, I did everything but, you know, march up and down the streets with my prayer tambourine. You know, I was on it. In 2020, I was like, we got this thing. No one's going to vote for Joe Biden. He's a ding-dong. Everyone can see it. And we lost.
Yeah.
How important is it that we change tactics as the people of God?
Yeah, well, it is of paramount importance. We have to do not just prayer, like you're mentioning, we have to do everything. You know, we've got all kinds of tools that are available to us, prayer being one of them, and you know, massively important, you know, in the order of priorities. But we've got to be volunteering. We have to be getting our church brethren to get out and vote. If just the churches voted at 50%, just 50%. The evil people would never win another election. But unfortunately, you know, we hang back and we don't get involved in politics and that's messy. Yeah. It's dirty. And thankfully that tide is turning, you know, mm-hmm. God bless Rob McCoy and TPUSA Faith and mm-hmm. Charlie and all that are going around and mobilizing churches and getting these pastors to understand that you know, Jesus was a political revolutionary.
Yes, he was.
And now people are so uncomfortable saying that because they have these goggles that are like American politics, and they're like, wait a second, he wasn't a Democrat or Republican, you know? No, but he was acting counter to the political establishment of the day.
Yep.
He was
and the boldly, religious leaders. Yeah.
Well, that was the political establishment. Yeah. You know, he was defying them. In doing the Lord's work, doing God's work, doing His building His Father's kingdom, doing what He needed to be doing. That's what we need to take as an example, and we need to go forth and we need to battle. I mean, this is a warrior's time, and that includes prayer warriors, and you know, putting people walking the streets and volunteering for campaigns. Persecution and prosecution is already here. But it will be exponentially worse if they win again.
Yeah, there's no question. And I loved what you said about getting the churches and the pastors involved. It was one of my great unveilings. I had several of them during my run for Congress. But one of the big ones was the unwillingness of pastors to engage in political conversations because they bought the lie of separation of church and state. They think they're going to lose their precious 501c3. You may have heard me on Jack's podcast saying, listen, that 501c3, that C right there stands for coward, because all they do is hide behind it. I'm just going to hide behind my 501c3. Oh, hey, we can't touch that. No, we don't do that. And they've effectively weaponized it and used it against God's people. But here in Washington State, and I think this is true in California and maybe even Idaho, but I'm not familiar so much with Idaho, that ballot harvesting, which you just were talking about, which the Democrats have been doing for years, is actually legal. But the churches are just like, oh, hey, no, that's cheating. That has a sort of cheater feel to it. It's not. You guys put a ballot box in your church. You can collect these things when your people come to church on Sunday morning. Yep. You don't have to tell them how to vote. But make it easy so that these people will actually do the work of voting, which is their duty as a citizen.
No, and as a church, you need to have a damn torpedoes attitude when it comes to your 501c3 status. I mean, how cowardly are you? But the truth is, that was a masterstroke of Satan. There's certain things that happen in our culture, and when they did that, that was a way to shackle the church and say, stay out of this, because they don't want powerful churches. They don't want churches that get involved. They don't want churches that mobilize people. And so that was a wonderful little trick that they pulled back in the day.
It worked.
It did. And it was intentional. It was absolutely 100% intentional. So you have to have the attitude of bring it on. There's no church that has lost their status. You know, you've got brave people like Rob McCoy that could care less and have defied the government over and over again in doing it and done it publicly. And that needs to happen, because eventually it's going to go away if we keep down this path and we keep losing. So, you know, what are our risks? It's already something that they'd like to destroy. And if they have a moment, they will. And it's not going to be because we were keeping quiet. Yeah. You know, so go for it.
Yeah, it's so true. And pastors, can a pastor, so the people that are listening to this are like, if I talk to my pastor about this, could I say, hey, pastor, can you encourage people to vote? What do you encourage a pastor to do? So almost everyone who listens to this show goes to church somewhere. They're either a pastor or they attend church somewhere. What is the message to the shepherds in these flocks as we head into 2024?
Well, you know, first, I mean, there are sheep dogs listening to us too, right? That are part of these churches, but aren't weak. And you need to convict your pastor and encourage your pastor. And if you are going to a church that is adamant that they aren't going to get involved, find another church. And take a whole bunch of people with you. Because I'll tell you this, anybody who is a member of the Democrat Party, you need to know this now. And I understand there are people that have like a traditional adherence, right? You know, it's, we were always Democrats, you know, hey, you know, member of the union,
things
like
that. That's what we've always
done. I'm not happy with some of the things that they're doing, but, you know, I'm going to still be a member of that party. No, get out. It is incongruent with the Christian
faith.
Away. Every single platform that they have is incongruent with the Christian faith. Everything that they're doing is unbiblical now at this point. Get out. You know, I hold your nose when it comes to the Republican Party, because they're also, you know, terrible. But we have a two-party system. You know, they're weak and stupid, and many of them are very much a part of the establishment and indistinguishable from the Democrats on the other side. But, you know, we need to be holding people accountable, and we need to do what we can to turn the dial. And we're a powerful force if we're united.
Yeah, I love that. Bryce Eddy, it's just been a delight to have you here today. This is a great place to end. We are a powerful force if we're united. And I think people need to remember, greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. And this really is a fight for good and evil. I mean, the battle lines have been drawn and the positions are clear. Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah. So BryceEddy.com. You can follow my show, The Bryce Eddy Show, on Rumble and all the podcast apps. And then we do our social media, Bryce Eddy One on Twitter or Super Bryce Eddy on Instagram.
All right. I love it. Thank you, my friend, for spending a little bit of time out there by the Starbucks in Idaho. It's lovely behind you, and I wish you just the best. Thanks for staying in the fight. We need more generals, and you're definitely one of them.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. For more information about today's guest, head on over to HeidiSaintJohn.com/podcast. You guys, we appreciate you. We just hit 23 million downloads. Please keep listening, sharing this show with your friends and your neighbors. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave feedback over at Spotify or over at iTunes. Reach out to me, HeidiSaintJohn.com/mailbox Monday. Have a great day, everybody. Love your people well, and I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.